your goodness and your mercy. We thank you this morning for the strength to be here this morning. We thank you, Lord God, for whispering in our ears and our ability to hear you, Lord. We thank you that you're covering upon us and upon our family and all our loved ones and our circle of influence. We thank you this morning. We understand that we have much, much to be thankful for. We come to worship you, Lord. We come to worship you. We come to acknowledge that you are first in our lives, Lord. Thank God for the preaching. Thank God for the music. Thank God for the singers. Thank God for the greeters and the ushers. Thank God. But we come to worship you this morning. We come to let you know that you are number one priority in our lives. We come to let you know, hallelujah, that our understanding has been opened to the reality of your existence in our lives. And hallelujah, and the fact that you are the one that created us. We come, Lord God, hallelujah, to put you first. Now, Lord God, speak to the hearts and the minds of your people, your people, your people, Lord God. Let them know that you'll never leave them nor forsake them. Now, Lord God, have your way here today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you, music team. Hallelujah. God is a good God. We want to ask the audio video people if they would prepare Hebrews 11:1 to put that on the screen in a minute as we go through this. Hallelujah. God is a good God. Thank you. Hallelujah. God is a good God. Today we want to continue talking about the gifts of the Spirit. And today we want to talk about the gift of faith. But let me just talk just a minute. The message is kind of centered around today, the different kinds of faith. And next week we may have to just talk about faith some more, because faith is an essential element in living in the kingdom. You don't need faith to go to church. You just come. You can put on short pants, don't matter. Not too short. You can dress up, you can dress down, it doesn't matter. But you don't need faith to do that. You just need a willing mind and a determination to do that. You know, as we were singing this morning, I heard the Lord says, ask him, come on, what could he tell them to do that they would do it? You see, your faith, or the degree or the amount of faith that you have, is dependent upon what you are willing to do. How far? What could God say to you, come on, that you know you would do? And that kind of answers the question, what could God say to you that you're not sure you would do, or you know you won't do? As we think about faith this morning, we have to think about some of the faith that was demonstrated in the Word of God. I think about Moses, and we mentioned Moses in the last few weeks, but I think about Moses, an Israelite, a Hebrew, born at a time when all the male babies were being killed deliberately by the leadership of the country. But God saved him. And then he raised up in the house of Pharaoh and Pharaoh's sister. And then he became a man and he murdered one of those Egyptians. And, you know, he left. He had to run away. And God prepared him for 40 years to do something that he would need faith to do. God is preparing some of you right now to develop that faith and what you've got to do next. But after 40 years of living away as a renegade, as somebody running from the law, God called him and spoke a word into his heart. And God said, all right, you know the place you left, you know the people you are running from, they have about 2 million of my people in slavery. And I'm going to send you back there to get these 2 million people. Amen. Hello? Away from a Pharaoh that was being enriched by these 2 million people. Moses' faith wasn't as strong as the assignment required. So Moses, what he had to do, he said, well, send somebody with me. I can't go by myself. And God sent his brother, Aaron, with him, because his brother could talk a lot. And he was a little bit bolder than Moses at the time. But the reality is that Moses, along with his brother, went on an assignment that most of us wouldn't even think about going on. You're going to go and rescue 2 million plus people from a Pharaoh. Come on. That's got these people in slavery, and you're going to do it just the two of them? I don't think so. It took some unusual type of faith to simply even believe that. If you were Moses, now I know you just, you can't know, but think about this for a moment. You grew up around the Egyptians. You knew how ruthless they were. You knew what they would do to their enemies. And then God sending you back there to talk about, because when you give up your slave, you give up your money. Would you have the faith to go back and do that? I don't know about you, but I'd say, God, do you have an assignment B? Do you have another assignment that I can do? And for you ladies, think about this for a moment. God reached down and talks to a little teenager that's not married and say, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to supernaturally impregnate you with the Son of God. Now, she's not married, never engaged in sexual relationships in her life, don't understand that. Amen. But she said, Lord, according to your word, let it be. That's right. What does that say? That said that she believed. She had the faith to receive that. Hallelujah. Now, as I thought about Mary and her faith, I'm saying she couldn't have been married because those folks have been arguing for days. I can see Joseph right now. Who was it? And I can hear Mary say it was an angel. No, Joseph come back and say, no, who was it? I want to know. But she didn't have a husband. She was betrothed, engaged to somebody, but she didn't have a husband. But nevertheless, her faith, I don't know where she got that level of faith, but her faith allowed her to believe that. Ladies, would you have believed that if God had come to you and said, all right? You have to know God, for one thing. You just have to know God. This faith is the thing that gets everything done. It's the thing that allows the power of God to be manifested through us. I want to show you some things in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, that's really not in my notes for today, because today I'm going to have a short message about the different kinds of faith so that you'll understand what I'm talking about. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, and let me turn to this as well in my notes. God is a good God all the time. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence, everybody say the evidence. The evidence. You may not have it in your hand. Hallelujah. When the angel spoke to Mary, she wasn't holding no crying baby. But her faith, her belief in what the angel had said to her was the evidence of that baby is coming. So now faith is the substance of things hoped for, things believed for, the evidence of things not seen, not materialized yet, not manifested in the natural. If you have faith, then you know that you know that you know that you know. And that's how you and I are supposed to be living our life in the kingdom of God, by faith. Go to verse 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. How else are you going to know that? You just have to believe that by faith, and then you have to act upon that belief. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Verse 4. By faith. Now he's giving you some examples of this thing over and over and over. By faith, Abraham offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Go to verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. He didn't die. He just was taken out of here. Go to verse 6. But without faith, this is the part I want you to grab a hold on with all your heart. I tell you forever, you can go to church over and over and over. You may even have some sort of title. But without faith, what the word says, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is God. Sometimes people act like they believe the pastors are God. Don't get in there. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. There's a thousand messages in all of this, but my point here for even showing you this from Hebrews 11 this morning is trying to get you to understand that it's all about faith. That's how we get saved. We're going to talk about that. It's all about faith. Verse 7, by faith, Noah, being 500 years old, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Now look at this. You just got to get a, if you study the book where Noah's at, and you study the story of the flood and Noah, and hear God telling Noah that it's going to rain, it's going to flood, and you got to build this great big boat. Well, Noah had never seen rain. How many of us would have, at 500 years old, even at 100 years old, would have grabbed your couple of sons and, you know, their children or whatever, they ain't had no children then, but anyway, grab them and say, let's build a great big boat. Can I know what they say? For what? For rain. What's that? By faith, though. Verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed. See, that's the trademark of faith. That's how you know you have faith. Because you'll act upon that. What did James say? Faith without works is dead. It's dead. All these stories that you read in the Old Testament about the Old Testament patriarchs, they all had that one thing in common. God told them to cease to do something that just didn't make sense to their minds, but they did it. Why would Abraham leave his family and go completely to a whole different section of the world? By faith. And then verse 9. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, talking about Abraham, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. I'm going to stop right there. Listen. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hallelujah. God's not all that interested in us just having a worship service. He's interested in us getting closer and closer to Him so that whatever He tells us to do, we will immediately move toward getting that thing done. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. Think with me for a moment. I don't know your situation. I don't know what your job situation is, what your business situation is. I don't know what your income is or whatever. But you can imagine, if you could imagine with me just for a moment. Just for a moment. That God says, all right, just stop what you're doing. Stop what you're doing. And move to Ohio. Not the big city in Ohio, come on, but the backwoods of Ohio. How many of you would do it? How many of you do it? Most of us, what we would do before we did it, if we did it at all, we would touch base with everybody we knew. Do you think this is God? Do you think, hello, you would ask the pastor, you would ask, well, there's nothing wrong with that. But you would ask the deacons, you would ask all the ministers, you would ask the ushers, you would ask your next door neighbor, you would ask everybody, till you ran out of people to ask. And then you got to make a decision. Am I going to quit my job? Hello? And if I quit my job, am I really going to go to Ohio? I don't know anybody in Ohio. So when we talk about faith, we're talking about moving under a different direction. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Some of you, if not most of you, in the near future, are going to be asked by God, not by man. I'm not talking about man, but by God. He's going to come to you, and He's going to say, do this or do that, whatever that is. And this message that I'm talking to you about today is going to come back to you. And you're going to say, oh, that's what he means by faith. And you're going to have to decide what you really got. Do you have the faith of Mary, who believed that she could be soon impregnated when she didn't know any men that way? Would you have the faith of Gideon, who went up against 200,000 plus enemies with 300 men? Remember the story of Gideon? God chose Gideon to free those Hebrews from the tyranny of their enemies around them. And the enemy's size was about 200 plus thousand men. So when Gideon finally believed God, because you remember how he did? He started giving God condition. Well, if you do this, I'll believe you. If you do this, I'll believe you. If you do this, I'll believe you. And God did all those things. And when he finally got enough faith to move on it, Gideon went and recruited 30,000 men to go up against 200,000 men, which are bad odds anyway. But then what would God say? No, Gideon, you got too many. So God windled down that number from 30,000 to 300. That's 1%. But 1% with God is all you need. You probably don't even need that 1%. What are you going to do when God tells you to do whatever he's getting ready to tell you to do? Are you going to do it? Are you going to do it? That's the thing. We sung a song about God raising up an army the other week. He's raising up an army. Hello. And if you're hearing the sound of my voice, you have been recruited. Hello? Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You have been recruited. But it's going to take faith to walk this walk. Hallelujah. I'm just so excited about some of the things that God's going to ask some of you to do. I hope I'm around to see you move in that faith, whatever it is. Whatever it is. God is a good God all the time. How many of you know it's time for us to stop playing church and be the church? Just be the church. Let the power of God operate through you. You know, one of the things I've learned in the last 30 years of overseeing this ministry is that I'll never have to worry about whether or not I'm smart enough, whether or not I've got enough background information to get something done, or whether or not things are going to turn out. All I got to worry about is what is God saying to me, and then just do that. And that requires faith. Father God, in the name of Jesus, as we go forward with your word today, Lord God, let it stand out in the hearts of your people, Lord God, and let them be able to be fired up, hallelujah, to be used by you. Now, Lord God, we call it done. We thank you for the army that you're raising up. We thank you for we thank you for this army. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I laugh right then because God said, let the people know that they're not by themselves. Amen. Let the people know they're not by themselves. You ever get sick and tired of being sick and tired? Maybe you're going through some things and you're just tired of going through it. Maybe it's your physical body. Maybe it's your mind that you're wrestling with. Maybe it's your money that you're wrestling with. Maybe it's the relationships around you. You get to the point where you just say, I'm tired of all of that. Just remember that you're never alone. You're never, ever, never, never, never alone. Never alone. That's good news, folks. That's good news. We said in the last couple of weeks when we were sharing this that a lack of knowledge is a terrible thing. And that's what we're doing now, imparting knowledge into you about what we should all know anyway. But if you don't know, just grab a hold of it. Paul, inspired by the Spirit to write to the church, he said this in 1 Corinthians 12 and 1. He said, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. I wouldn't have you ignorant. Now, we said before, if God didn't want the people at Corinth to be ignorant, he surely doesn't want you and I to be ignorant. Amen? I don't know about you, but I want to see something happen in my life. I want to see the power of God, hello, manifest itself in my life. I don't just need to make sure I eat every day, that I got something in my closet I can wear and put on, that I've got a couple pennies in my pocket. I don't want that. I don't want that. I don't want just that anyway. If we're children of God and we live in the kingdom of God, I want that power of God to be manifested through me as a child of God everywhere I go. I want that. I want to see the power of God operating. I want to get to the point where, listen, there is no fear in my life. Nothing but a spirit of power and a love and a sound mind. But through faith, that can happen. Today, we want to once again look at the gift of faith. We've been talking about spiritual gifts. We want to look at the gifts of faith. And all I want to do today is talk about the gift of faith versus other faith. And there's basically four types of faith that we need to look at. But I just want to let you know the difference before we really get into some deeper things next week. We need to understand this. We don't live by sight. We live by faith. Faith in this thing. Sister Eve and I were talking. We were talking, I think it was this morning or yesterday or whatever, about our lives and how we saw how God has brought us. You know, hallelujah. And I was sharing with her, I'm saying, you know, I'm just so thankful that God brought me to Ahoskie. Hallelujah. But God didn't bring me to Ahoskie for me. He brought me to Ahoskie to do some things that will affect Ahoskie and affect the people in Ahoskie. I get the benefit of this. Amen. I get the benefit of this thing. But he's brought me here for all of us. To say something maybe someone else is not saying that we need to say so that you can be empowered, so that you can be raised up as part of God's army. And everybody, everywhere you go and everybody you know will see something that they've never seen before. How long you think religion has been in our culture of America, probably since the establishment of the country. But it seemed like as the history of the culture goes by year after year after year, we've lost something. We've lost that connection with God. I don't know what the first settlers was like and what they believed. But what we have created in our culture is a system of religion where we just kind of go through the motions, but nothing really happening. When we get broke, we get just as scared as everybody else. God says it shouldn't be that way. When folks attack us, we just get just as worried as everybody else. And God said it shouldn't be that way. And God's going to prepare us to be ready for whatever he's getting ready to do. Look at somebody and say, God getting ready to speak to you. And not necessarily through me. He's going to say something and ask you to do something. I hope you have enough faith to just move on it and just act on it. Just act on it. I constantly use, my testimonies and stuff, I just embed that in your heart. So you could say, well, if God could do it through Pastor Smith, he can do it through me. I remember just as good, hallelujah, just as good. When God spoke to me and on my job, he said, listen, just give these people 6 months because you're coming off. And I thought God was going to do something I thought was great and wonderful. I did. I thought God was going to elevate me, whatever that means. I thought God was just going to bring a whole bunch of stuff in my life. And then the 6 months went by, and the date came for me to have to get off my job, and I still didn't have an answer what I was going to do. And then I got off my job, and there was nothing. The people that I wanted to like me hated me. I had no job no more. So I had to make some adjustments. I had no directions because I had no plans. I was dependent upon God's plan, but I thought God's plans was something I was going to create. So here I am, done what God told me to do, but there was nothing. So I'm saying, boy, did you miss it then? I don't know if you've ever been there. I'm saying, God, what you doing? And then God told me to leave my church. That didn't make me mad. And then he didn't tell me where to go. But how many of you know you got to do step A before you need to worry about step B? So I left my church. And I'm saying, what you gonna do? Now I don't have no job, now I don't have no church. Folks don't like me. Hello. Ain't got no money. But then God sent a lady that I knew. She said, you know what? She said, I attended a church down in Greenville. It was a predominantly white church at that time. I remember. And she said, I got blessed by that church. And when she said it, I could hear God says, that's step B. You go there. So I took my family and I went there to Greenville. They don't know nobody down there. And after about the third or fourth week, I don't know, I wasn't there that long. God says, all right, step C is to go back to Ahoskie and start a church. Now, if God had told me that at the beginning of the year before I quit my job, it'd probably been all kinds of things going on in my mind. All kinds. But it took faith, my point is, it took faith to exercise each step. And neither one of those steps made sense. We've got over 80 churches in this community. Why would I want to go down to Greenville to a church and drive that hour every day, hour there and hour back every Sunday? Why would I want to do that? God's getting ready to tell you to do something. You be ready to do it. Look at somebody and say, please be ready to do it. Aren't you ready to see something different happen? God is, hallelujah, he's with you. He's with you. In review, let me just do a little bit of reviewing again. It says the three power gifts, and we talked about the three section of gifts, but the three power gifts, those that do something, are the gift of faith, which we're going to talk about today a little bit, the working of miracles, and the gifts of healing. Let me emphasize that the gift of faith, like all the other gifts of the Spirit, is supernatural. I'm not talking about natural faith. There's a difference, and I'm going to tell you today about these different types of faith. But the gift of faith is supernatural. It's not natural. The gift of faith, by the way, is the greatest of the three power gifts. You don't want to miss that. It's the gift of the Spirit to the believers so that he might receive miracles. Everybody say receive. That's a powerful word, receive. Now, the working of miracles, which we're going to talk about in a couple of weeks, is a gift of the Spirit given to believers like you and me so that we might work miracles. So there's a difference. There's a total difference. One gift receives, and the other gift does something else. It does something. One gift is passive, and the other gift, it receives. Notice that the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 12 and 10. Let me put that on the screen. To another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits, to another, divers kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. See, when you perform a miracle, that's working a miracle. That's something you're doing. But the gift of faith is not like that. But when you receive a miracle, you don't work. You just receive it. And that's the gift of faith in operation. When you receive something. Hallelujah. Mary didn't do anything. Mary didn't create a miracle by having this baby boy. Mary received a miracle. There's no way in the world, in our mind, that you and I can explain Mary having a baby with the facts we know. I don't understand that. I don't understand that. So when you talk about the gift of faith, we're talking about receiving a miracle, receiving something, not doing something, but receiving something supernatural. Mary received a miracle. God spoke it in her spirit and she received it. We have a tendency to put all kinds of faith in the same sack. We mix them up and do all kinds of stuff and shake them all out together. But we must differentiate between them. We got to do that. There's different kinds of faith, and that's all I want to do today is talk about that. The Bible actually talks about four different kinds of faith. Hallelujah. The first one can be found in Ephesians 2 and 8. The first kind of faith is saving faith, which leads to a person to salvation. Hallelujah. It was a saving faith that allowed you to go from being not saved to being saved. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says, "For by grace are you saved through what? Faith." And that's really Jesus' faith, not your faith. "And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." So God had to give you that gift of faith for you to even receive salvation. See, a lot of people will voice the words that you try to get them to say through that prayer, but they're not receiving anything. But see, when you're real with God, when you know that you know that you know that you want what God has for you, and you open yourself up and you're ready to repent, really ready to repent, then God will give you his gift of faith. Come on. That's from him to receive salvation. Hallelujah. It's a special gift of God. And you need that particular type of faith to get saved. You can say, I love Jesus all you want and go to anybody's church you want. But if, what did Jesus told Nicodemus? Nick, you must be born again. Birth is a miracle. When a child is born, something happens. That's a miracle. So here was Jesus telling Nicodemus, Nick, you must be born again. Something must happen. Something must happen that causes you to be a different person. So that type of faith that we're talking about is the first kind of faith. It leads a person to salvation. Hallelujah. And then Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says this. So then faith come by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. Something God said into your spirit that you received it and you walked in it. And that allowed you to be saved. However, the kind of faith which we are discussing today, the gift of faith or special faith, what I call it, is different from saving faith. You only need that saving faith once in your life. Once in your life. You know, a person could come to a church, maybe they're 14, 15 years old, maybe they're a little older, and they're convicted, but they're really not ready to receive all from Jesus. So they go through the motions, they say the words, they say the prayer, but they really don't experience that born-again experience. But if they stay in that environment long enough, the Holy Spirit, I believe, will convict their heart and move them to a place where they're really ready for this gift from God. Salvation is a gift. And it requires a special faith from God to receive it. To receive it. You don't get saved just because you're tired of doing what you were doing. A lot of people are tired of doing what they're doing, but they don't get saved. They don't have the faith that we're talking about to receive salvation. They're just tired of doing what they were doing. When I was a drinker, a person that drank all the time, listen, a lot of times I got tired of drinking. I'm tired of drinking. But I ain't stopped drinking. I tell myself, well, I'm not going to get drunk or drink no more. But as soon as the occasion presented itself, what we do? The same old thing. But when you get saved, hallelujah, the things you used to do, you don't even want to do them anymore. That's one of the things that allows you to know that you are saved. Because you've become a whole new person. Not of your own power. It's a supernatural power that allows you to be born again with a whole new nature. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God is a good God. The second kind of faith is what I call general faith, which every believer has. Every believer, and I say believer, person who are born again, we all have that. Let me take you to Romans chapter 12, verse 3. He says, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. And that measure of faith that I'm talking about, that general faith, can be increased as Christians feed on the word of God and exercise it in the arena of life. So if you stay in that word, stay prayerful. Come on, stay in an environment. That general faith that we're talking about that allows you to move a little differently from the world, it will increase. It's like building muscles. But if you never get in the word and you never spend time with God and you say, well, I go to church. And you say, well, how long you stay at church? 48 hours? 4 days? No, I don't stay at church that long. How long you stay? Maybe 2 hours. Hello? You know what that's like? And like me say, I'm going to build my muscles. And what I'm going to do, listen, I'm going to build strength. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to do 2 push-ups every Thursday. Now, where's that going to go? I mean, what am I going to get out of that? All that's going to do is make me tired on Thursday. That's all that's going to do. That's all it's going to do. That's it. Hallelujah. It can be increased by feeding on the Word. If you're going to live this hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. See, when you're born again, God just dropped it in my heart. Let me tell you something. When you're born again, truly born again, you're going to walk around here with a sign on you, a spiritual sign. I won't be able to see it. You won't be able to see it, but the devil can see it. And that sign says, I am born again. And the devil's going to try to throw everything at you. Everything. He'll try to kill you physically. And if you let him, you'll just die and go to heaven. He'll try to rip off your money. He'll try to negatively affect relationships. We think a lot of times that when we get saved, that everybody is so happy for us. I'm going to tell you, they may be happy if they're saved. But if they're not saved, some of you may have experienced that. You get saved and all of a sudden, your brother and your sister, they're not even talking to you no more. Because they're not saved. And the devil will use them. All of a sudden, your running buddy, Ace Coon, don't want to hang with you no more. Because they're not saved. And if you're not saved, listen, the devil may have you doing anything. All of a sudden, your coworkers just back away. Those that are not saved. That's just the way it works. I'm afraid of that. God is a good God all the time. General faith is the faith by which we ordinarily receive answers to prayers. That's all you need, general faith. If your prayers are not being answered, listen, you need to tell me so we know how to pray for you and pray with you. There's something wrong there. Hallelujah. Listen, I don't want to confuse anybody. Don't want to mess up anybody. You can't make God do anything. Hopefully your prayers, when you're asking for anything in your prayers, they line up with the Word of God. Any of you that's got a 3-4-year-old child, and the child come and say, give me something to eat, or they might say, can I have a piece of bread, or give me a piece of bread. Chances are, unless there's some real good reason, you're going to just give them that bread. You're going to just give them that bread. But if you got a 3 or 4-year-old say, I want a bulldog, I don't think you need no bulldog. Are you with me? I don't think you need that bulldog. Unless it's an extremely tame bulldog. You're not going to give your child something that's going to hurt them, even though they think. See, if you had a 3 or 4-year-old that asked for a bulldog, listen, you think they understand when you say you don't need no bulldog? They don't understand that. They saw it, they want it. And sometimes we as human beings do the same way. But if you're asking God for something that you need or something that'll just bless you and lines up with His will and His way and His word, God's going to give it to you. Some of you may not even know that. Some of us be struggling for answers, and all you got to say, Lord, what's the answer to that? Hello? 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 Even mathematically, if I were to stand here and ask some of you, okay, what's the answer? I don't know the answer to it, but you might ask some of you, say, okay, what is the answer to pi times 139? Everybody know what pi is, right? I ain't getting into all that. But it's a mathematical formula, right? So if I ask you that, say, hey, what is the answer to pi times 139? And you look at me and say, I don't know that. See, but the good news is God knows that. Grab a hold of that. God knows that. So sometimes you might be asking for something you can't do. or something that's not available to you in the natural, but you need it for whatever reason. There's no use you burning out your brain trying to figure out something you don't even know or something you can't control. That's the benefit of being saved. Hello? Don't you know, listen to me, don't you know that there's probably a benefit of living in a multi-billionaire's home versus living in my house? Don't you know that? That just turns the light bulb on. Which one you want to live? You want to live with Daniel Smith in his house, or you want to live with this multi-billionaire in their house? And you have a choice. I know which one most of us would take. It's the same way with God. Do you want to live like you're not saved, or you want to live like you're a child of God, like you've been born again, like you're a member of the kingdom of God? Just ask God. For whatever it is, just ask him. Stop trying to figure all this stuff out. Just say, hallelujah. I know I may sound crazy when I say that, but just ask him. Hallelujah. For example, we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit by faith, and we receive answers to prayers by faith. Because Jesus said, listen, Mark 11:24, let me take you there. I don't know how many times I've quoted this scripture, but I got to keep quoting it till you believe it, until you walk in it. This is Jesus out of his mouth saying this to us. He says, therefore, I say to you, what things soever you desire. Now, we can stop right there. What things soever you desire. When you pray, what do you need to do? Believe. That's another way of saying have faith. Believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Right from the mouth of God. But do we walk that way? No, we don't walk that way. We're constantly trying to make things happen, when we don't even know what's happening in the spiritual world or what's back behind us. He said, all you got to do is believe that you receive them. Now, I told you a few minutes ago that whatever it is you desire, you can't be desiring no pit bull and you're 3 years old. You can't. You don't need to do that. Or something else that might harm you. God's not going to do anything to harm you at all. But in the everyday course of life, he said, look, what you need. What you need. Come on now. What you need? Do you need more money? What you need? Do you need more clothes? What you need? Do you need a better position in your job? What do you need? Do you have a business going? Do you need more business? Do you need better business? What do you need? If we ever get to the place where we believe Mark 11:24, listen, something's going to change. You'll never lack. You'll always have more than enough. More than enough of everything that you need. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Many of us receive answers to prayers by faith, what I call general faith, even before we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. These answers came, why? Because we believe God by faith. The baptism of the Holy Spirit comes with a certain uniquely gift or power that we can use, but we'll talk about that at another time. But you're a child of God. Those of you that are saved. Those of you that are saved. Amen. Don't you dare settle for just religion. It was the religious people that killed Jesus. And they meant well. Most of them did anyway. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The answers that I talked about that came by general faith, those answers came because we believe God, once again, by faith. So faith plays an important role in our walk here on planet Earth. And as long, hallelujah. How many of you are going to live out your last days in a nursing home? Raise your hand. Don't have no hands. I'd like to stand before you and tell you, you don't have to. You can just be productive all the way up to the last day and then go on home. But if you don't move by faith, the devil may get in there and you may believe a lie of the devil that kind of deteriorates your mind and your body. And you may have to be taken care of in your last days. But if you know what I know, listen, you don't have to go that way. You don't have to go that way. Why settle for just what the devil's got for us? Why? The third kind of faith in the Bible is called the fruit of faith. Everybody say the fruit of faith. Let me take it to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23. These things you need to know. You need to understand them so that you can operate in all four of these areas. Now, those of you that have already received salvation, you've already received Jesus' type of faith to receive salvation. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith." Suppose you had a tree that just produced all kinds of fruit. And you could make that statement. Come on. The fruit of this tree is apples and oranges, pears, peaches. Come on. Grapes, strawberries, all off one tree. What God is saying here, listen, there's some fruit that's coming from the same source. It's coming from the same source. And faith is one of those fruits. In the original Greek, this fruit of faith is not called faith at all, but faithfulness. While the fruit of the Spirit are the development of Christian character, talk about fruit. God said, you will know them by their fruit. You could be born again, but not have developed any faith in your life. Faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So God said, you will know them by their fruit. So if you see a man or a woman or a child or whatever, you know, that's confessing salvation, but they have no faith. You know, well, you might be saved, but you need to get into this word to develop that faith so that faith will grow, come on you. And it'll be obvious to the world what kind of tree you are. Hallelujah. God is a good God all the time. Fruit is something that grows. Fruit is something that grows. I really believe that you and I are living in a day of time when God just want to come through here and just pick out one of them and say, all right, okay, all right. This church down here don't have a pastor. You go pastor that church. So Wanda's looking at me. I'm not sure. Are you with me? Or God is saying, listen, there's another church around the corner that doesn't have a pastor. You go pastor that church. What would he be looking for? He'd be looking for that fruit of faith. He'd be looking for that fruit that grows from you spending that time with God. Amen? Hallelujah. See, the world has a way of doing things. And let me just use this position of pastoring. You know, in our world, there's a path that you can come through, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that path. You know, you can finish high school, go to college, and then go to seminary and get a degree out of seminary. You know, a degree that says you've been to seminary. That's all it says. You've been to seminary. But when you present that certificate to a functioning Christian body, it means something to a lot of bodies. They said, okay, you've been through seminary. We can hire you. But how many of you know God don't move that way? God just walked through the aisle. Say, okay, you go pastor. You, yeah. You go pastor. Yeah, you. You used to be a drunk. You go pastor. Amen? That's the way it works. When you be saying, God, what about the certificate? God said, didn't I tell you go? See, we ever think that it's us We're going to miss it anyway. If God tells you to do something, he's right there with you. Amen? He's right there with you, telling you where to go, when to go, why to go, what to say, what to do. Right there with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So once again, faith or faithfulness is a fruit that grows in the life of a Christian to establish him or her in spiritual character. That last and but fourth kind of faith mentioned in the Bible is what we have been talking about earlier today, the gift of faith. Once again, 1 Corinthians 12:9 says, to another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gift of healing by the same Spirit. See, the gift of faith is a supernatural manifestation of the Holy Spirit to receive a miracle. Like what Mary had. Mary had to have that gift of faith to receive it. Otherwise, she'd have been fighting it. She'd have been fighting it. She'd have felt something growing inside of her and went to, and she would have had to go to the medical folks and say, could something inside here, could you please get it out? But because she had faith in what God had told her, hallelujah, that gift of faith, hallelujah. God is a good God. The gift of faith is distinguished, hallelujah, from other kinds of faith, and that with this special faith, there's a manifestation of the evidence of the supernatural. God is just waiting. Just waiting to pour upon you the gift of faith for a given situation. But the question is, will you be willing to accept it? You won't accept it if you think something's wrong. Through this gift, a person can supernaturally and against all odds believe God for a miracle. How in the world Mary believed that? I know she believed it because she said, Lord, just like you said, let it be done unto me. Are you ready to walk in this thing? Or are you just satisfied with coming to somebody's church, anybody's church? If all you want was, listen, if all you want is a church entertainment, I suggest go to a different church every week. Because they're all going to be different. The music going to be different. The preacher going to be different. The people going to be different. So why just hang in there with one church? When you got all these varieties. All these varieties. Why? If you had 12 cars in your garage, chances are you just drive them all. But the reason you come to one is because by faith you are directed to one. For a season. Are you with me? By faith you are directed. You think you made a decision, a choice. No! By faith. By faith. By faith. We're all here for a particular reason and a particular purpose. You may not know, I may not know the fullness of it as well. But we're all here because this is what God said to do. And we're moving by faith. God is a good God all the time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. By the gift of faith, a person does not work a miracle. Hallelujah. But passively receive a miracle, like Mary and the baby. The gift of faith is distinguished from the other kind of faith in that with this special faith, there is a manifestation of the evidence of the supernatural. God is a good God all the time. Through this gift that I'm talking about, a person can supernaturally and against all odds believe God for a miracle. Can you believe God for a miracle? Can you believe God for a miracle? Now I'm going to tell you now, it took faith to start this ministry. It did. It did. It took faith to start our child care center. It took faith to start our family resource center. It took faith to start our thrift store. And it's going to take faith to do whatever else God tells us to do next. God didn't tell us to do all this stuff because we're experts in this stuff. He just said do it. But by faith. And you can best believe if you tell me, I'm going for it. Amen? I'm going to just go do it. And I encourage you. To expect God to direct your every step. And by faith, you move on it. By faith, you receive it. Hallelujah. God wants to change your life like never, ever before. Amen. God is tired of his people going around mumbling and grumbling and complaining. Hallelujah. When they don't have to. Because by faith, it says faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. When God gives you a gift of faith, which is, it comes and goes. It's just not something you hang on to. Then he wants to do something supernatural. 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 He just wants to do something supernatural. How many of you want God to do something supernatural in your life? Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. God is raising up an army, and you're a part of that. Hallelujah. If you're here today, listen, everything starts with salvation. Don't you dare keep going to anybody's church and keep rejecting God if that's you. If you're here today and you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and become born again into the kingdom of God, God wants to shuffle you into his kingdom today. He wants to transfer you from a world of darkness into a world of light. If you're not sure that you're saved, we want to pray with you today. Hallelujah. We just want to pray with you today. Is there any? Now let me just say this. Did I see any hands? Now let me just say this. Listen, if you got 4 or 5 children that you're raising between the ages of 2 and 6, how often would you want them to follow your instructions?
All the time.
All the time? Is everybody in agreement with that?
Yeah.
Well, it's the same way when you come into the kingdom of God. Listen to me. God will guide you. He will direct you. He will tell you everything you need to do. But one of the things that we all have to do is follow his instructions. Amen? Just follow his instructions. I'm not telling you to follow the pastor's instructions. Amen? Don't you dare do that unless God tell me to tell you to do something. I mean, he rarely does that. He really rarely does that. But listen, make up your mind. Are you going to be a child of God? Are you going to just turn your life over to Jesus Christ? Or are you just going to be a churchgoer? Make up your mind. All churchgoers who do not get saved go to hell. That's hard. That is hard. The only way to escape hell is to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And we call that salvation. But genuinely do that. So once again, if God is your Father, and you've accepted him, if you accept being born again, then right now today, this is for somebody today, make up your mind, number one, to seek the will of God in everything. Somebody say amen to that.
Amen.
Just make up your mind to seek the will of God. Just seek the will of God. Just seek it. Just seek it. Just make up your mind that you're going to at least start by seeking what God wants you to do. That means, look, seek God as to even what church he wants you to go to. You say, God, is this the place you want me to go to? And what I always tell you, follow the peace, right? Follow the peace. When the peace leave, you leave. Follow the peace. Ask God about your children. Ask God about your marriage. Ask God about your job. Any questions you may have, but being willing to do that. Now, I say this to those of you that have believed that God has brought you and set you here at this local church. Before you decide to go fishing on Sunday, ask God what he wants you to do. Go fishing or go to church. And then you follow the peace. You might need to go fishing. I don't know. But our way of doing things is we don't ask God. We just do what we want to do. When we want to do it. And how we want to do it. I'm telling you, we have to stop doing that. Because every act of disobedience brings a season of disorder. We must start doing that. Asking God for every direction in our lives. What do you want me to do? Hallelujah. Won't we stand all over the